Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth reminds you, your kids need to be reminded of your love.
Listen, Mom, when your kid emails you or calls you or drops you a note and says, I love you, Mom, is that meaningful to you? It is. You think it's not meaningful to your kids? Say it to them before you hang up the phone. Just think, if this were the last call you ever had, would you have regrets? Or would you have said enough that you could know that you'd said what needed to be said?
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth, author of Adorned, for Friday, March 10th, 2017. Titus 2 has so much to offer you as a woman. We've been discovering the riches of this passage in a series called God's Beautiful Design for Women. Nancy picks back up in Titus 2.
Well, we've been talking over the last several days about younger women learning to love their husbands. And now we come today to that next phrase, which is that younger women are to learn to love their children. I came across a piece on the internet while I was studying for this session. It was written by a mother who has six children, and it was entitled, Thinking of Having Kids. And she gives several lessons. Lesson number one, if you're thinking about having children, go to the grocery store, arrange to have your husband's salary paid directly to their head office, go home, pick up your favorite magazine, and read it for the last time. That's lesson one. Lesson number two, to discover how the knights will feel, walk around the living room from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m., carrying a wet bag weighing approximately 8 to 12 pounds, with a radio turned to static or some other annoying noise playing loudly. At 10 p.m., put the bag down, set the alarm for midnight, and go to sleep. Get up at 12 and walk around the living room again with the bag until 1 a.m. Set the alarm for 3 a.m. As you can't get back to sleep, get up at 2 a.m. and raid the refrigerator. Go to bed at 2:45 a.m. Get up at 3 a.m. when the alarm goes off. Sing songs in the dark until 4 a.m. Get up, make breakfast, keep this up for 5 years, and look cheerful. Lesson number three. Dressing small children is not as easy as it seems. Here's how you practice if you're thinking of having kids. Buy an octopus and a small bag made out of loose mesh. Attempt to put the octopus into the bag so that none of the arms hang out. Time allowed for this all morning. Lesson number four. Take an egg carton. Using a pair of scissors and a jar of paint, turn it into an alligator. Now take the tube from a roll of toilet paper. Using only scotch tape and a piece of aluminum foil, turn it into an attractive Christmas candle. Last, take a milk carton, a ping pong ball, and an empty packet of Cocoa Puffs, and make an exact replica of the Eiffel Tower. Lesson five. Buy a minivan. And don't think that you can leave it out in the driveway spotless and shining. Family cars don't look like that. Instead, buy a chocolate ice cream cone and put it in the glove compartment. Leave it there. Get a dime. Stick it in the CD player. Take a family-sized package of chocolate cookies. Mash them into the back seat. You say, this looks like your car, right? Run a garden rake along both sides of the car. There, perfect. Now it's a family car. And here's lesson number six. Hollow out a melon. Make a small hole in the side. Suspend it from the ceiling and swing it from side to side. Now get a bowl of soggy Cheerios and attempt to spoon them into the swaying melon by pretending to be an airplane. Continue until half the Cheerios are gone. Tip half of the rest into your lap. The other half, just throw up in the air. You are now ready to feed a 9-month-old baby. Sound familiar? Older women to train younger women to love their children, according to Titus chapter 2, verse 4. This word, love their children, in the Greek language in which the original text is written, it's just one word. It's a combination of two words made into one compound word. The first word is the word philos, which is the word for friend. And the second word is technon, the word for child. It's a person who is fond of children, a lover of children, somebody who enjoys children. And so we want to talk over these next couple of sessions about just some simple things. Again, I don't have children of my own, and so I am no expert on this subject. But I want to just encourage those of you who are mothers or thinking about being mothers with God's heart for your children. You know, the thought of loving your children, as I've been meditating on this over the last several days, there's that concept of delighting in them. I know that a lot of mothering is like what we just read about with feedings in the middle of the night and messes in the family van and a lot of distractions and disturbances and things that make motherhood difficult. But I see so many mothers who lose the perspective of the fact that children really are a blessing. And I can see how that can happen. That's why we need these times to encourage and remind each other that they really are something to be delighted in. What does it mean to delight in your children, and how can you do that? Well, just several thoughts that may be helpful to you. The first is just the whole concept of having children, the willingness to have children, to welcome them as blessings and gifts from the Lord. We've talked about this on other programs on Revive Our Hearts, and my friend Holly is here today. I've done an interview before, and you can go to our resource center to get a copy of that CD about the blessing of having children. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on that today, but I think you know that we live in a culture that considers children a burden and a nuisance and a bother. So, okay, if you're going to have, you know, the requisite one point whatever children, nobody's going to bother you too much. But if you announce that you're expecting your third or your fourth or heaven forbid your fifth or your sixth child, don't you start to get the comments today? And you can get them even within the church. And women have shared with me that it's even hard for them to announce to anybody that they're pregnant because they're afraid of what people are going to say, sometimes in their own family, sometimes in their own church. This is not the heart attitude of Scripture. Anywhere you read about children in the Scripture, about having children, you read that this is a blessing. This is a gift. This is a privilege. I think of that very familiar passage in Psalm 127 that says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord." Listen to the words used to describe children. They're a heritage. They're from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. It's a benefit. It's a reward. It's something positive. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. I mean, what would a warrior be without ammunition? He'd be powerless. He couldn't fight the battle. Arrows are essential in the hand of a warrior. Children are essential in God's plan and God's program for the propagation of the gospel and the representing of God's heart and His way in our world. This is not an option. This is not an add-on idea. Although many countries of the world are now having children at such a slow rate that they're not even replacing their population. And the United States is now approaching that statistic where we will not even be having enough children to replace our population. Which, by the way, and I don't want to get too much off on a bunny trail here, but as our generation, the boomers, gets older, the fact that we have not been having children in our generation is going to come home to roost when we have a huge older population and so few to take care of them, so few to pay into Social Security, so few to care for parents. And I think we've not yet begun to see the full implications and consequences of a whole generation that has said, we don't value children. We don't think it's important to have children. Let me go on in Psalm 127, verse 5. It says, "Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them." Blessed. This is a privilege. This is a blessing. "He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." You see this in the New Testament in Matthew chapters 18 and 19. You see two back-to-back incidents where Jesus talked about children. You see Jesus' heart for children. You read that passage about children being brought to Jesus to bless, and some of these more spiritual, sanctimonious disciples were a little upset. You know, this isn't the time for kids. And Jesus said, in effect, this is the time for kids. Because the kingdom of God is made up of people who have childlike faith and humility. Value the children. Don't send them away. Let them come to me. And Jesus stops what he's doing. Jesus, the Son of God, who's got to accomplish the plan of redemption in 3 years. He stops. He takes the children in his lap. He blesses them, ones who have nothing to offer him. But he loves them. He blesses them. He blesses their parents. He takes notice of them. He doesn't consider them a burden. He welcomes them. And I see in the heart of Jesus what is to be our heart for children. So to delight in your children, to love children means, first of all, just the willingness to have children as God gives them to you and as God directs in that way. And that doesn't necessarily mean that if you delight in children and are welcoming them into your life that God is going to give you 19 children. He probably won't. I'm looking back here at one friend who God has only blessed her with 2 children, but her heart attitude has always been, God, we would welcome whatever children you would want to give to us. And that is a very countercultural way of thinking today. It may be very foreign to you, and you may be wondering if I've lost my mind by talking this way, but I want to encourage you to go to the scripture and just ask, what does the scripture have to say about children? I was talking with a woman I met recently who has 8 children. And I asked her, when you and your husband got married, were you thinking of having a lot of children? She said, no, we just had always been brainwashed in the world's way of thinking. And we got married and we decided you don't have children for a certain amount of time and you do what you can to stop it. And talked a little bit about their pilgrimage. I said, well, how'd you end up with 8 children and why? And she said, you know, as God began to bring children into our lives, I started going to the scripture and just saying, what is God's perspective on children? And she said, everywhere I turned in the Word of God, it just said children are a blessing. She said, if God wanted to give me any other kind of blessings, like checks for thousands of dollars, I wouldn't say to him after a few of those came my way, Lord, no more blessings. Yeah, I've got too many blessings. I can't handle any more blessings from you. She said, I would welcome those blessings. So she said, I started to realize that we weren't really thinking of children as blessings and gifts from the Lord. And I think that to challenge the world's way of thinking on this front causes us to run into the selfishness and the secular ways of thinking that are just what we have bought into as a culture. So I don't want to do a whole session on that here, but I do just want to challenge you to be thinking about what would it mean for you to have an attitude that welcomes children as a blessing and a gift from the Lord. Now, delighting in your children means enjoying them, not just fulfilling your responsibility to care for them. You see, when God wrote, inspired Paul to write these words to Titus, I think he knew that most mothers were going to be responsible in taking care of their kids. I mean, there are very few mothers, even pretty bad mothers, who don't do the basic things that are required for their kids to survive. But I think the Lord also knew that mothers could get caught up pretty easily in the day-to-day practical responsibilities of mothering and might forget to really love their children, that they would need to be reminded to enjoy their children, to treasure them. Of course, there's a time when you love them naturally, when that first baby is first placed in your arms. I've just heard mothers talk about that intense love that God puts in their heart for that little one, even after 32 hours of hard labor and then a C-section, you know, no matter what that mother has been through, a horrible pregnancy, a tough delivery, whatever it may have been, you put that little one in her arms and there is something that God has put in there that comes out, that loves that child. But those natural feelings don't last forever. And the times come that when it's harder to love those children. There's that crying infant, that colicky baby that's just more difficult, more restless, and you're more exhausted. And you're saying, I'm not so sure this is a great blessing. There's that season when you're training and there's a toddler throwing temper tantrums and it's not so easy to love at that moment. A whining 6-year-old, a disobedient or disrespectful teen who is testing the boundaries and your patience. And then I know that there are some here who are dealing with adult children who are hard to love. They've broken your heart. They've made foolish choices, perhaps embarrassed you. And you know, the natural fleshly instinct at different ones of these seasons is to become irritated or impatient, hurt, bitter, to have that bitterness turn to self-pity and selfishness and resentment. And for some mothers, they even fall into patterns of abuse or neglect sometimes even harming their children. And these little seeds of resentment and bitterness can actually become very dangerous if they're not tended to, and if you don't allow God to replace those feelings with His love. Now, as we talk about enjoying children, let me say this is not just for those who have natural children, but I think it's a mindset that we need in the body of Christ. Even those of us who are single and don't have children of our own can love other people's children. And that's part of being part of the body of Christ, with nieces and nephews and children in the church, noticing them, engaging them, praying for them. I find that it's a temptation sometimes when I'm with a family to just have all the conversation, be adult, and not even to notice the children who are around. But I think if Jesus were there, He would stop. He would notice. He would speak to the children. And I try to do that. I try to bless the children and to pay attention to them and to engage with them and to find out what's happening in their lives and to pray for them and to show them the love of Christ. And I think as singles, there's a huge service we can do to the body of Christ by coming alongside of parents and encouraging their children. And sometimes we can be another voice into the lives of those children that can help them hear things at a time when maybe they have a hard time hearing their own parents saying those things. And then the importance of expressing your affection and your delight for your children. It's the same thing we said earlier about encouraging husbands. It's not enough to think it or feel it. You need to say it. Say it. Tell your children. Tell them that you love them. Tell them that you're delighted with them. Tell others about them. This is the way God loves His children. Remember at the baptism of Jesus when God the Father spoke from heaven and He said, so everyone could hear, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Now, did Jesus need to hear His Father say that? I mean, certainly as the perfect, sinless Son of God, He didn't need those strokes or that affirmation. But in His humanness, there was the value, the building up that comes when you hear your dad, you hear your mom say, I love you. And I'm delighted with you. I'm pleased with you. Express it to your children. I think of how God loves His people. And in one of the Old Testament prophets where God says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. Here's a God who delights in His children. And He says it. He expresses it. Ladies, I know this sounds like so elementary, but I think when you get distracted and sidetracked with all that's going on in life, it's really easy to forget it. Can I just encourage you to say it often to your children? I love you. I'm proud of you. I thank God for bringing you to our family. You cannot say it too many times. You can't say it enough times. Have you said it today to your children? Say it, no matter what age they are. And don't wait until it's too late. You don't know how long you have. I lost my dad on the weekend of my 21st birthday, and anything that was going to be said had to be said before that day. I have a brother who was killed in a car accident at the age of 22. He didn't have a long life. There was limited opportunity to say in our family the things that we thought maybe we would have years to say. Don't wait till you're standing over a casket. And that's not a threat. That's just saying time is short, and don't get so distracted with the getting kids to school and soccer practice and piano lessons that you just forget to tell them that you love them. Say it when you greet them in the morning. Tell them when you say goodnight to them. Tell them when you send them off to school or baseball practice. Write notes. I have notes from both of my parents that I cherish. I was reading back over one last night that my dad wrote to me on my 16th birthday. And it's just a precious letter. And I can think of notes that my mom has written that have just encouraged my heart. You need this from your parents. And as a parent, you need to say those things. Today, you may not be into writing notes, although I have a brother who has three teenagers, and he says that because kids do so little note writing today, because everything is with email or text messages, that to get a note from their parents is really a huge thing. But if you're not into writing notes, do it with email. Text message your kids. Tell them that you're thinking about them, that you love them. They may not act like it means anything to them. I guarantee you it does. Listen, Mom, when your kid emails you or calls you or drops you a note and says, I love you, Mom, is that meaningful to you? It is. You think it's not meaningful to your kids? Say it to them before you hang up the phone. Just think, if this were the last call you ever had, would you have regrets? Or would you have said enough that you could know that you'd said what needed to be said? Say it. I love you. I love you. You can't say it too often. You want those words ringing in your kids' ears. Now, some of you are going to go home and get so carried away, your kids are going to think, what happened to my mom today? So you might want to ease into this a little bit if you've not been accustomed to talking that way. But you don't have to be all, you know, overly emotional about it, but just make a habit of saying those words, telling your children that you love them, that you delight in them, expressing your affection for them. And then as you delight in your children, of course, it goes without saying that they have to be a huge priority in your life. Not before your husband, but second to your husband, that they require time and focus and attention and effort. You say, well, of course, I spend a lot of time. I'm a mother. That's what mothers do. They spend a lot of time with their kids. Do you love your husband and your children more than you love your other friends and your outside involvements or interests? Do you love them more than you love your job? Now, you may not love your job, but maybe your job takes so much out of you that you don't have the time and the energy and the effort to put into your children or your husband. Then you need to say, are my priorities out of whack? Are things in order in my home? Are you more committed to prioritizing your children than you are your other friends? You need to be a friend to your children. Now, more than a friend. But you need to be fond of your children, affectionate toward them. And that's what this child-loving concept is here in Titus chapter 2. Remember the shortness of the time. And live in the present moment. Make the most of the present moments you have with your kids. Don't lose the joys that you could have in the present and the opportunities that God is giving you today by being impatient for the future. And isn't it so like us to just be eager for the next stage to take place? If only I could get this kid potty trained. If only I could get this kid in kindergarten. If only I could get this kid reading. Don't be always so looking forward to the next thing that you miss. The joys and opportunities of this season. Now, this season has challenges too, and I don't want to make it sound that I think that parenting doesn't have huge challenges. I think mothers are the most underpaid, underrated, underappreciated employee on the face of the planet. I mean, I just say cheers to you moms, and what you do is hard, hard, hard work, and I say thank you. Thank you for being faithful. But in the midst of being faithful, don't lose the joy of your calling and the chance to really enjoy the kids God has given you. Psalm 113 says that God gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Are you a cheerful mother? Like this morning before you left your house, were you a cheerful mother? Now, I'm not saying every moment is a cheerful moment, but overall, would your kids see you as a joyous mother of children? There are hard moments. There are moments when parenting brings you to your knees. It brings you to tears. I don't want to be insensitive to the fact that there are those seasons. But overriding that all should be the joy of Christ in these kids he has given you and the privilege it is to raise them for Christ. Do you delight in your children? Do you view children as a blessing? Not just children in general, but your children. Do you see them as a blessing, a gift from the Lord? Or maybe have you lost sight of the privilege that it is to have children? And you may just want to stop right now for a moment and say, Lord, thank you. Thanks for the privilege of being a mom. Yes, it's hard, and yes, my kids are going through some things right now that maybe are heartbreaking, but Lord, it really is a privilege. And all these little ones that are making such a mess in our house right now and all the challenges of trying to figure out. I talked with a woman the other day who's got a bunch of children, a lot of them, and she loves being a mother. She loves her children, but she's homeschooling and there's a lot going on. And she just said, it's really, really hard to survive each day. And she's got good kids and she's got a heart to do what she's doing, but she needs the Lord each day to give her the strength and the courage and the faith and the joy to persevere. She's not wanting to quit. She's not going to quit. But she needs the Holy Spirit to fill her with joy in that calling and in those tasks. And then, are you telling your children enough that you love them, that you delight in them? Are you affirming them verbally? This is my beloved child with whom I am well pleased. Oh, Lord, how I pray that you'd give wisdom and grace and strength and courage and faith and joy and all that is needed for moms who are listening. Moms at every season of life and taking kids through all kinds of different issues and challenges. And I know, Lord, there are those caring for children with special needs and those with many children who are young and just in that very wearying season of life. Lord, whatever the season, whatever the situation, I pray that you'll give a perspective and grace, your tailor-made grace to fulfill this calling and to be a joyous mother of children. And Lord, may these moms reflect to the world what it is to have the joyful parenting heart of God, the heart he has for his children. And as people look at the way Christian moms love their kids, may they get a glimpse, a picture, a reflection of how our Heavenly Father loves us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Nancy DeMoss Wagamuth has been showing you how to leave a legacy in the lives of your children. Today counts. Our words today will either contribute to a legacy of love or they'll tear it down. We're so grateful that for over 15 years, Revive Our Hearts has been able to point women to God's Word to learn these practical truths. And we're also grateful for the explosion of interest in this message in Latin America. Nancy, tell us more about what's going on there.
Well, I'm getting so excited to be in Mexico next week for the Mujer Verdadera 2017 conference. That's our Spanish True Woman conference. Mary Cassine will be joining me along with Dana Gresh, Betsy Gomez, Damaris Carbaugh, and others. And the theme of this conference is En Busca de Dios, Seeking Him. Together, we're going to be encouraging our Spanish-speaking sisters from around the world to seek the Lord for personal revival. And we're going to be asking the Lord to ignite spiritual awakening throughout Latin America in particular. So would you pray for us as we prepare for this conference? Pray for safe travels for our team, for attendees who are coming from many countries in Latin America and in other parts of the world as well. And would you pray for our sisters in Mexico who are facing a very tough economy and may be challenged to get to this conference? We've set up a special webpage where you can donate specifically to this conference. Visit reviveourhearts.com and follow the link to that page where you can help support Mujer Verdadera 17. The value of the peso has fallen in relationship to the dollar in recent months, which has made this conference a challenge for our sisters in Mexico. That means those of us with U.S. dollars have a great opportunity to support our sisters who are in need. In fact, I was so thrilled to hear about one of our speakers who has a ministry of her own who said, "My husband and I want to scholarship 100 women from Mexico to be able to come to this conference." Wow, what a sweet encouragement that was. And only the Lord knows the impact that will be had in the lives of those women as a result. So again, visit reviveourhearts.com and follow the links to donate to the conference. You can also get information on watching the live stream March 24th and 25th. And thank you so much for your support of this True Woman Conference for our Spanish-speaking sisters.
As you run from one activity to another, trying to fill hungry mouths and answering questions nonstop, you can forget the big picture of what being a mom is all about. But on Monday, Nancy will help you approach parenting with purpose. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wagamuth believes in passing the baton of truth to the next generation. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.